From the Christian Classics Ethereal Library on the web at www.ccel.org. The Holy War, made by Shaddai upon Diabolus for the regaining of the metropolis of the world, or the losing and taking again of the town of Mansoul. John Bunyan, Baker Bookhouse, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49506. To the reader, 'tis strange to me that they that love to tell things done of old, yea, and that do excel their equals in historiology, speak not of Mansoul's wars, but let them lie dead like old fables or such worthless things that to the reader no advantage brings. When men, let them make what they will their own, till they know this, are to themselves unknown. Of stories I well know there's diverse sorts, some foreign, some domestic, and reports are therefore made as fancy leads the writers. By books a man may guess at the inditers. Some will again of that which never was, nor will be, feign, and that without a cause. Such matter, raise such mountains, tell such things of men, of laws, of countries, and of kings. And in their story seem to be so sage, and with such gravity clothe every page, that though their frontispiece says all is vain, yet to their disciples they obtain. But, readers, I have somewhat else to do than with vain stories thus to trouble you. What here I say some men do know so well, they can with tears and joy the story tell. The town of Mansoul is well known to many, nor are her troubles doubted of by any that are acquainted with those histories that Mansoul and her wars anatomize. Then lend thine ear to what I do relate, touching the town of Mansoul and her state. How she was lost, took captive, made a slave, and how against him set that should her save. Yea, how by hostile ways she did oppose her lord, and with his enemy did close. For they are true, he that will them deny must needs the best of records vilify. For my part, I myself was in the town, both when 'twas set up and when pulling down. I saw Diabolus in his possession, and Mansoul also under his oppression. Yea, I was there when she owed him for lord, and to him did I submit with one accord. When Mansoul trampled upon things divine and wallowed in filth, as doth a swine, when she betook herself unto her arms, fought her Emmanuel, despised his charms, then I was there and did rejoice to see Diabolus and Mansoul so agree. Let no man, then, count me a fable maker, nor make my name or credit a partaker of their derision. What is here in view of mine own knowledge, I dare say, is true. I saw the prince's armed men come down by troops, by thousands, to besiege the town. I saw the captains, heard the trumpets sound, and how his forces covered all the ground. Yea, how they set themselves in battle ray I shall remember to my dying day. I saw the colors waving in the wind, and they within to mischief how combined to ruin Mansoul and to make away her premium mobile without delay. I saw the mounts cast up against the town and how the slings were placed to beat it down. I heard the stones fly whizzing by mine ears. What longer kept in mind than God in fears? I heard them fall and saw what work they made, and how old Moors did cover with his shade the face of Mansoul. And I heard her cry, woe worth the day, in dying I shall die. I saw the battering rams and how they'd played to beat up Eargate, and I was afraid, not only Eargate, but the very town, would by those battering rams be beaten down. I saw the fights and heard the captains shout, and in each battle saw who faced about. I saw who wounded were and who were slain, and who, when dead, would come to life again. I heard the cries of those that wounded were, while others fought like men bereft of fear, and while the cry, "Kill, kill," was in mine ears, the gutters ran, not so with blood as tears. Indeed, the captains did not always fight, but then they would molest us day and night. Their cry, "Up, fall on, let us take the town," kept us from sleeping or from lying down. I was there when the gates were broken open and saw how man's soul then was stripped of hope. I saw the captains march into the town, how there they fought and did their foes cut down. I heard the prince bid Bonerges go up to the castle and there seize his foe, and saw him and his fellows bring him down in chains of great contempt quite through the town. I saw Emmanuel when he possessed his town of Mansoul, and how greatly blessed a town his gallant town of Mansoul was when she received his pardon, loved his laws. When the Diabolonians were caught, when tried, and when to execution brought, then I was there. Yea, I was standing by when Mansoul did the rebels crucify. I also saw Mansoul clad all in white. I heard her prince call her his heart's delight. I saw him put upon her chains of gold and rings and bracelets goodly to behold. What shall I say? I heard the people's cries. I saw the prince wipe tears from Mansoul's eyes, and heard the groans and saw the joy of many. Tell you of all, I neither will nor can I. But by what here I say, you well may see that Mansoul's matchless wars no fables be. Mansoul, the desire of both princes was, one keep his gain would, t'other gain his loss. Diabolus would cry, "The town is mine." Emmanuel would plead a right divine unto his Mansoul. Then to blows they go, and Mansoul cries, "These wars will me undo." Mansoul, her wars seemed endless in her eyes. She'd lost by one, become another's prize, and he again that lost her last would swear, "Have her I will, or her in pieces tear." Mansoul, it was the very seat of war, wherefore her troubles greater were by far than only where the noise of war is heard, or where the shaking of the sword is feared, or only where small skirmishes are fought, or where the fancy fighteth with the thought. She saw the swords of fighting men made red, and heard the cries of those with them wounded. Must not her frights then be much more by far than theirs that to such doings stranger are? Or theirs that hear the beating of a drum, but not made fly for fear from house and home? Mansoul not only heard the trumpet sound, but saw her gallants gasping on the ground. Wherefore we must not think that she could rest with them whose greatest earnest is but jest, or where the blustering threatening of great wars do end in parleys or in wording jars. Mansoul, her mighty wars they did portend, her weal or woe, and that world without end. Wherefore she must be more concerned than they, whose fears begin and end the selfsame day. Or where none other harm doth come to him that is engaged but loss of life or limb, as all must needs confess that now do dwell in universe and can this story tell. Count me not then with them that, to amaze, the people set them on the stars to gaze, insinuating with much confidence that each of them is now the residence of some brave creatures. Yea, a world they will have in each star, though it be past their skill to make it manifest to any man that reason hath or tell his fingers can. But I have too long held thee in the porch and kept thee from the sunshine with a torch. Well, now go forward, step within the door, and there behold 500 times much more of all sorts of such inward rarities as please the mind will and will feed the eyes with those which, if a Christian, thou wilt see, not small but things of greatest moment be. Nor do thou go to work without my key. In mysteries men soon do lose their way, and also turn it right if thou wouldst know my riddle and wouldst with my heifer plough. It lies there in the window. Fare thee well. My next may be to ring thy passing bell. John Bunyan. An advertisement to the reader. Some say the Pilgrim's Progress is not mine, insinuating as if I would shine in name and fame by the worth of another, like some made rich by robbing of their brother, or that so fond I am of being sire, I'll father bastards, or if need require, I'll tell a lie in print to get applause. I scorn it. John such dirt heap never was, since God converted him. Let this suffice to know why I, my pilgrim, patronize. It came from mine own heart, so to my head, and thence into my fingers trickled. Then to my pen, from whence immediately on paper I did dribble it daintily. Manner and matter too was all mine own, nor was it unto any mortal known, till I had done it, nor did any then, by books, by wits, by tongues, or hand, or pen, add five words to it, or wrote half a line, thereof the whole and every whit is mine. Also for this thine eye is now upon, the matter in this manner came from none but the same heart and head, fingers and pen, as did the other. Witness all good men, for none in all the world without a lie can say that this is mine, excepting I. I write not this of my ostentation, nor cause I seek of men their commendation. I do it to keep them from such surmise, as tempt them will my name to scandalize. Witness my name, if anagram to thee, the letters make new honey in a bee. John Bunyan. A Relation of the Holy War. In my travels, as I walked through many regions and countries, it was my chance to happen into that famous continent of universe. A very large and spacious country it is. It lieth between the two poles, and just amidst the four points of the heavens. It is a place well watered and richly adorned with hills and valleys, bravely situate, and for the most part, at least where I was, very fruitful, also well peopled, and a very sweet air. The people are not all of one complexion, nor yet of one language, mode, or way of religion, but differ as much as, it is said, do the planets themselves. Some are right and some are wrong, even as it happeneth to be in lesser regions. In this country, as I said, it was my lot to travel, and there travel I did, and that so long, even till I learned much of their mother tongue, together with the customs and manners of them among whom I was. And to speak truth, I was much delighted to see and hear many things which I saw and heard among them. Yea, I had, to be sure, even lived and died a native among them. So was I taken with them in their doings. Had not my master sent for me home to his house, there to do business for him, and to oversee business done. Now there is in this gallant country of universe a fair and delicate town, a corporation called Mansoul, a town for its buildings so curious, for its situation so commodious, for its privileges so advantageous. I mean, with reference to its origin, that I may say of it, as was said before of the continent in which it is placed, there is not its equal under the whole heaven. As to the situation of this town, it lieth just between the two worlds, and the first founder and builder of it, so far as by the best and most authentic records I can gather, was one Shaddai. And he built it for his own delight. He made it the mirror and glory of all that he made, even the top piece, beyond anything else that he did in that country. Yea, so goodly a town was Mansoul when first built, that it is said by some, the gods, that the setting up thereof came down to see it, and sang for joy. And as he made it goodly to behold, so also mighty to have dominion over all the country round about. Yea, all were commanded to acknowledge Mansoul for their metropolitan. All were enjoined to do homage to it. Aye, the town itself had positive commission and power from her king, to demand service of all, and also to subdue any, that anyways denied to do it. There was reared up in the midst of this town a most famous and stately palace, for strength it might be called a castle, for pleasantness a paradise, for largeness a place so copious as to contain all the world. This place the king Shaddai intended but for himself alone, and not another with him, partly because of his own delights, and partly because he would not that the terror of strangers should be upon the town. This place Shaddai made also a garrison of, but committed the keeping of it only to the men of the town. The walls of the town were well built, yea, so fast and firm were they knit and compact together, that, had it not been for the townsmen themselves, they could not have been shaken or broken forever. For here lay the excellent wisdom of him that builded man's soul, that the wall could never be broken down nor hurt by the most mighty adverse potentate, unless the townsmen gave consent thereto. This famous town of man's soul had five gates, in at which to come, out of which to go, and these were made likewise answerable to the walls, to wit, impregnable, and such as could never be opened nor forced but by the will and leave of those within. The names of the gates were these: Ear Gate, Eye Gate, Mouth Gate, Nose Gate, and Feel Gate. Other things there were that belonged to the town of man's soul, which, if you adjoin to these, will yet give further demonstration to all of the glory and strength of the place. It had always a sufficiency of provision within its walls. It had the best, most wholesome, and excellent law that then was extant in the world. There was not a rascal, rogue, or traitorous person then within its walls. They were all true men and fast joined together. And this, you know, is a great matter. And to all these, it had always, so long as it had the goodness to keep true to Shaddai the king, his countenance, his protection, and it was his delight, etc. Well, upon a time there was one Diabolus, a mighty giant, made an assault upon this famous town of man's soul, to take it and make it his own habitation. This giant was king of the blacks, and a most raving prince he was. We will, if you please, first discourse of the origin of this Diabolus, and then of his taking of this famous town of man's soul. This Diabolus is indeed a great and mighty prince, and yet both poor and beggarly. As to his origin, he was at first one of the servants of King Shaddai, made and taken and put by him into most high and mighty place. Yea, was put into such principalities as belonged to the best of his territories and dominions. This Diabolus was made son of the morning, and a brave place he had of it. It brought him much glory, and gave him much brightness, an income that might have contented his Luciferian heart, had it not been insatiable, and enlarged as hell itself. Well, he, seeing himself thus exalted to greatness and honor, and raging in his mind for higher state and degree, what doth he but begins to think with himself how he might be set up as lord over all, and have the sole power under Shaddai. Now that did the king reserve for his son, yea, and had already bestowed it upon him. Wherefore he first consults with himself what had best to be done, and then breaks his mind to some other of his companions, to the which they also agreed. So, in fine, they came to this issue, that they should make an attempt upon the king's son to destroy him, that the inheritance might be theirs. Well, to be short, the treason, as I said, was concluded, the time appointed, the word given, the rebels rendezvoused, and the assault attempted. Now the king and his son, being all